All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Trump continues to accomplish, even in the midst of what the media likes to call Signalgate, which is a big giant nothing burger. Mike Griffith is on. Snarl Barkley is on. D9597 is on. Those Jesus people is on. Gritterdom is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. S. Clark, 1968 is on. Granted, 2468 is on. Let me see. Coco DeMickey is on. Robin Aroni is on. Milwaukee James is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Joe Enns is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Drummond for Jesus is on. K4 VMS is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Hotshot Insights is on. Judy Anita is on. Guzzi 600 is on. Dave Souders is on. Just Jesse is on. Just Fact is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. King Slutsy McGroin is on. McGroin Nation is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. DC941 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Let me see here. Naz Yeager is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Snod Dot 311 is on. Uncle Wally is on. PD Frank 1974. Sorry about that. Is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Levin Carl 11 is on. Sexy Pony is on. General Plowman is on. Let me see here. Scooting down, scooting down. Phil McCracken is on. Conservative Waffles on. Sheila K is on. Scooting down even more here. Let's see. Who haven't I said yet? Looking up. 50925 McDonald is on. Confederate 1 is on. Praise Holler is on. Charlie 340 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this now. Citizen Free Press tweet. President Trump signs sweeping new elections order. Requires proof of citizenship. Again, why is this even needed? We are the only country on the planet where anybody can vote that's a non-citizen. We're the only country on the planet that doesn't require proof of citizenship. And once again, the only states, and I repeat, the four-letter word only, the only states, Kamala Harris won, are in states that don't require any voter ID whatsoever, let alone proof of citizenship. And by the way, there's a big difference between ID, voter ID, and citizenship, because IDs are now given automatically in those states that Kamala Harris won, like the Californians, the Illinois, the Washingtons, and the Oregons of the world. Voter ID, or basically voter registration, you are registered as a voter the moment that you get a driver's license. And you get a driver's license when you have the last four of your social, which has been given to the 15 to 20 million illegals that have floated across their southern border under the Biden administration over the last 4 years. So this is huge. It requires proof of citizenship, which is very different than just simple voter ID, because you can have a voter ID and be illegal. The Democrats have acknowledged it. We've covered it on the show. They're automatically registered to vote. Basically, there's always some sort of plausible deniability. We're not registering these illegals as they cross the southern border. No, you're giving them either a driver's license, the last four of their social, so they can register to vote, or they're automatically registered to vote at the DHSMV. So this is brilliant. It requires proof of citizenship, because Trump knows there's a lot of illegals running around with voter IDs because they are a quote-unquote licensed driver. All right, no more counting ballots received after election. Why is this even a question? I mean, again, this is like we have to legislate now that men cannot be in women's locker rooms. You have to legislate now that men can't serve in the women's side of the army. Well, I mean, this is so outrageous. And this is why the Democrats have a 28% approval rating. But by the way, just so you know, I believe it's in the state of Pennsylvania, they just unseated a Republican senator, or it was a red district. A very red district. They just won an election. And there's a huge Supreme Court race coming up in Wisconsin. And Scott Pressler, the Persistence, follow him on Twitter, is trying to raise awareness for it. But why did we lose that one in Pennsylvania? Because everybody, we're doing all this stupid crap. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean all of us, because all of us are paying attention. We're all red-pilled. I'm saying our side of the aisle, which is a vast side, but our side of the aisle is doing all stupid crap. You know what? I can live without all the rhetoric now at this point. And as much as I love Cash Patel, I really don't need him to say Pam Bondi's our justice warrior. Okay. You know what? The best thing you do now is don't spike the football. Don't put out this hyperbolic sort of rhetoric. Like, you know, I mean, every sentence has to be Donald Trump is the greatest president of all time. We're here to support our president. You know, just do your freaking job. Do your job. Where are the Epstein files? Where is Maha outlawing the COVID-19 vaccination?
Yeah.
Where's the JFK files? I'm just curious. I mean, you know, and you're like, Tom, I'm not going to play the game. I've already acknowledged Donald Trump's greatest president in the history of America. Aaron, can that be any clearer?
Yeah.
Okay, this means he's perfect.
Yeah.
And we can just stop with the rhetoric, all right? You know, Cash Patel, I'm here, you know, to serve the great justice warrior, Pam Bondi. Okay, Cash. I mean, I love you. And you are awesome. And I mean, seriously. But can we stop with the absolutely cringy conservative crap too?
Yeah.
Let's never do cringe, shall we? Let's just do our jobs and never be cringy. Doesn't that sound good? Mm-hmm. This is doing your job. And by the way, Trump never does do that stuff. It's other people doing it with him. I don't know if they expect that that's going to advance them up the ladder, or maybe it's some sort of prereq. I have no idea, but can we just stop and let's start, let's perform. And here's the thing. If we lose the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, you just lost the state of Wisconsin because they're going to redistrict it. That's the whole point of it. And the reason why we lost in the Pennsylvania race, and I'm talking about a red district as red as Sarasota County, where I'm sitting right here, where you can't be elected as a Democrat. No, there's no chance. There are no Democrats in any seat in Sarasota County, maybe in the city of Sarasota, but not in the county of Sarasota. Why did we lose? Because 29% of Republicans showed up. Okay, now you just lost the seat. And I'll bet you right now, because this has happened before in the state of Wisconsin, nobody showed up for the last Supreme Court race. Now, if it goes to where you have a 4-4 Supreme Court there, they're going to redistrict it. And what does redistricting mean? We're going to lose Republican seats because they're going to fine-tune the line so that there's more blue districts. And then we only have a 2-3 seat advantage. They're talking about pulling down at least Stefanik's nomination right now because of our very slim margin in the House. Because the moment Hakeem, strike one, Jeffries, is the Speaker of the House, which I hope he never is, he's going to impeach Trump. Day one. And again, why? What's the House doing right now? Does anybody know? I mean, Tim Burchett walks out basically every day and says, why are we doing nothing? Why are they doing nothing? Why is there no codification going on? Why is there no impeachment of Donald Trump? I mean, why is there no impeachment of Joe Biden? That's the new rules. They should be impeaching Joe Biden. Tommy's not president. That doesn't matter anymore. Remember the new rules. Donald Trump was way out of office last time they impeached him. Why are you not waging war? Well, we want to appear to be the adults in the room. That's not the game anymore. The game now is no freaking mercy. None. That's the game. No mercy and lock up your political opponents. That's the new game. And that's one they want to play it. The only way to get them to stop playing it is to make them play it. The only way to get them to stop with those tactics are making them live with those tactics. There's plenty of Democrats to lock up. But what's the House doing? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. I mean, in all honesty, what's Pam Bondi doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
What? Nothing. We had the charade. You're like, Tom, can't you be just pro? I'm never going to be that way. Wrong podcast. I'm never going to be somebody who's Trump is always right. 4D chess. I'm not doing it. Pam Bondi, like I was watching Owen Schroyer last night, has rated her a D-. He's correct. Yeah. He gave everybody a ranking, a grade. He's correct. I mean, Bindergate. Everybody comes out with their binders. Ooh, the Epstein files. What is that? I mean, again, let's not do cringy conservative crap.
Yeah.
Who comes out with binders? I mean, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. You obviously know a whole lot more about the tech than I do, but can't you just send that to everybody?
Oh yeah. Just post it.
You come, yeah, exactly. Why are we releasing it to Liz Wheeler and DC Drano?
Yeah.
Why don't you, Aaron, that was brilliant. Just post the freaking thing.
Yeah.
You know what it's called? Twitter.
Yeah.
Post it. I mean, what are we trying to hide right now with Epstein? That he was a Mossad agent? We already know that.
Yeah.
We know that he was a Mossad agent. We already know that he was a honeypot agent for Mossad. What are we trying to hide with JFK? The Mossad was involved in his assassination? We already know that too.
Yep.
So if we're worried about preserving Israeli relations, everybody involved's dead. Aaron, what are we preserving? Help me understand.
No, I can't.
What are we preserving?
I don't know.
Look at me. It's a four-letter word. Everybody's dead.
Yeah.
So who cares? We already know. We know Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill JFK. We know that.
Yeah.
We got it. We know. We understand that. You had Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby meeting a week before. Having coffee together a week before. That's all documented fact. Everyone needs to read Roger Stone's version of what happened, because that's what happened to JFK, just so you know. You're like, Tom, you're way off track. Oh, this is great. This is what has to be done. Trump keeps progressing forward in the midst of persecution. He's the greatest president of all time. But the people working around him, some of them I have big questions about, like Mike Waltz. Yeah. Big, big questions about, which we'll get deep into that tonight if I shut my mouth, which is never a good... The odds of that are low. But anyway, all right, let's go to the next one, Will. All right, leading report tweet breaking. A third of all D.C. district judges that are all now judging Donald Trump, that if Will questions them, Aaron questions them, if you question them, if I question them, we're a threat to our democracy, we're insurrectionists, we're seditious conspiratorialists. If we even dare question it, we're supposed to not question our political opponents putting judgments on us. But a third of them, of all U.S. D.C. district judges, we're not even born in the United States. What in the world is going on? Go to the next one for me. Tommy TG Me video. Here's Judge Chang, who ordered Elon and Doge to put USA back in play. Play for me.
Y'all need to follow me on this one. Listen to this. Okay, earlier, Judge Theodore Chang had ordered Elon Musk and Doge to restore USAID, claiming the shutdown violates the United States Constitution. Now, let's get into the details and we're gonna go down a rabbit hole. Let's meet Judge Theodore Chang's wife, Jacinta Ma here. Jacinta Ma was a Biden appointee and Democratic donor who previously served as vice president of George Soros-funded Open Border Advocacy Group. Mm-hmm, yeah. It goes on further. The National Immigration Reform advocates for mass amnesty, okay, and staunchly oppose border enforcement policy. George Soros Open Society is also reportedly the group's largest donor. East West Management Institute partnered with George Soros Open Society, and guess where the funding came from? Can somebody guess? USA, okay? Now, she spoke openly about how Biden might need to reverse the Trump's immigration policy on DACA, asylum, family separation, ICE raid, private detention, and more. President usually sets the refugee cap in the fall just before the start of the fiscal year. Biden could immediately raise the refugee cap through an executive order up above. Now, this is the same judge who blocked President Trump from ICE raids. Went in the full circle, didn't it not?
So once again, Judge Chang, who ordered Elon and Doge to put USAID back in play, is the same judge that blocks ICE raids. His wife works for George Soros. So he politically and financially benefits from his own rulings. Why is he not recused? Why is he allowed? And by the way, congratulations, Judge Jeb Bossberg. He just got the fourth Trump case. He's the chief of the circuit. And all of these are supposed to be randomly selected. The judge is supposed to be randomly selected, randomly put on each case. Now suddenly he gets every single one of them. That sounds like Juan Merchan that got all three Trump cases in New York City when it's a 24-judge panel and they randomly picked them. But he got all three Trump cases. And now Bossberg's got all four Trump cases in D.C. And by the way, who was Bossberg? He used to be the roommate of Brett Kavanaugh, if you're ever wondering why Brett Kavanaugh sucks a teat every now and then.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all a giant incestuous relationship. And luckily, you and I are not the inbreds. They are. But that's why you're ever wondering why Brett Kavanaugh sucks? Because Bossberg is his roommate. Was. It's the same thing with Kevin McCarthy. rooming with Frank Luntz. They're working together for this sort of amoebus, a symbiote circle bleep in Washington, D.C. They're all the same. They just put different labels on each other. I mean, again, Kevin McCarthy's no different than Liz Cheney. He's no different than Nancy Pelosi. He just wears the Republican label so we don't put a legitimate one in his place. He's a placeholder for the globalist left. Y'all are, but yeah, but Tom, they do good things. Every now and then they do good things. You should have watched, if you missed it, go back to the beginning of the show and watch the first 4 minutes of the pregame. Because it gives the Liberty Score ratings of 10 senators. 10 Republican senators who are D's and F's in Liberty Score. Susan Collins being the worst. She's a Republican out of Maine who votes 20% of the time with Republicans. The Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, votes with Republicans. I can't remember. It's 49 or 52 because it's him and John Cornyn. One or both of those guys votes less than half the time with Republicans as a elected Republican. So, again, you have Judge Chang here, 51% for Thune. Yep. 49%. Our Senate Majority Leader votes 49% of the time with Chuck Schumer. They see this again. This all supports my. I mean, it's not theory. It's absolutely true. It's called the Uniparty. I call it the Circle Bleep Symbiote. But all it is a bunch of Republican placeholders. They're not Republicans. They're holding on to seats so we don't put Republicans in there. They go back and they run. How does Dan Crenshaw ever get elected? It's amazing to me. I mean, I can't imagine a Republican. You're not paying enough attention. What does the man do after he leaves his district in Texas? That's what you got to pay attention to. So again, Judge Chang is ruling in his own financial favor from the bench and his own political favor from the bench. Shouldn't be allowed. And Bosberg is just taking on the fourth Trump case because he's the judge that's supposed to make the random assignments. He randomly is choosing himself every time. And his wife financially benefits off his rulings. His daughter financially has benefited off of his rulings. Therefore, he benefits off of those rulings. Unbelievable. If we had a legitimate media, all of these people would already be impeached. All right, Mike Lee video. So here's Mike Lee's solution to it. Mike Lee, one of the true, I always forget Mike. I always forget him. Mike Lee is a true conservative, a true conservative. Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You and I wouldn't be perfect if we were up there. I mean, can you imagine if I was up there? What would happen?
I would love that.
Just constant. It'd be constant warfare, screaming all the time. All right, Mike Lee videos. Actually, Mike Lee put this out. I think he was on Laura Ingraham. We're going to stop delusional judges who think they are the president. Play for me.
Joining me now, Utah Senator Mike Lee, also a former Supreme Court clerk of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator Elena Kagan, she's a principled liberal. She's obviously right. This is a disaster.
Absolutely right. She's the one who said we're all textualists now. She's a textualist, and she was right when she said that.
So what do we do now in the Senate? There are a couple of different ideas. Explain them clearly to the people watching tonight, because they think, well, you can't stop a court. A court wants to rule. Why isn't that okay?
One of the best things we could do is pass legislation that I introduced day before yesterday that would limit the jurisdiction of the courts, making it so that a single district judge can't issue an injunction against the U.S. government with nationwide applicability on a major matter of presidential policy. It needs to be going through a three-judge district court with an automatic direct appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States. It would make it very difficult to judge shop, and it would make it so we get a final resolution from the Supreme Court.
Would
quickly.
This be a rotating panel
Yes.
of district court judges?
Rotating panel of district court
Random.
Judges selected by the Chief Justice at random from available district judges around the country. That way you can't go into this. If you're an NGO, if you're one of these liberal activist groups, you can't just judge shop and know that if you file in a certain district, odds are pretty good you're going to get a lefty. Makes it.
Yeah, they're always going to run to the nice district in Northern California, or even worse, the D.C. district. 95% of, again, you use USAID statistics. 98% of their employees. Remember the 14,000 people that used to work for USAID? Now there's less than 300. That's what you're supposed to do. And how's that affected your life? You and I, billions upon hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars to pay for these people to not show up. 6% of the D.C. workforce shows up at work every day, the federal workforce. 6% shows up. So Donald Trump decided, let's see, to fire 13,700 of them. And that had absolutely no effect on us whatsoever. But back to Mike Lee. So what do you do here? Well, they judge shop to get them into those districts. So all those USAID workers, 98% of USAID voted, contributed to Joe Biden or Democratic Party causes, contributed to them. So what do you do if you're going to bring a Republican up on some sort of charge or to try to get an injunction? We'll put them in the district where all those people live. So that would cover the jury. Or, of course, they're the ones either nominate or elect judges there. Or you bring them into the D.C. District itself, which are all leftist judges, even the ones that were nominated by even Trump and Bush. Trump was blind in his first 4 years. All of us would have been. I mean, I'm not one for offering a mercy that should not be offered. Unwarranted mercy. I don't offer it. You're stupid. You get to be called stupid. But if somebody's ignorant, all of us would have been. He was never a politician. Remember going from he was never a mayor. He was never a congressman. He was never a senator. He was never a state senator. He went from nothing to president. Okay, so he doesn't know everything. So he's just allowing the deep staters to basically run his first administration and know any better. Now he knows a whole lot better because they've tried to put him in prison for the last 4 years and tried to kill him twice. So now he knows. So they're judge shopping constantly. And that, like, even the judges that he nominated were leftists. That was my point. No, Tom, they have an R. It doesn't matter where they have an R. What's their liberty score? I mean, Aaron just told me, what's Mike Lee's liberty score? 94%. Yeah. Let's compare that to Johnny Thune. Ugh. 52%. John Cornyn, 49%. Susan Collins, 20%. All right, so Mike Lee's plan, and this is the bill that he's trying to pass, is you're no longer allowed to rule from the bench. You no longer get to be a district judge who gets to act like he's president, i.e. Bosberg and Chang. So no district judge will be able to issue a nationwide injunction. Will not be able to even issue a nationwide ruling, period. It goes to a three-judge panel, and that will go then. You go right to the three-judge panel. If you don't like that decision, it goes right to, these are all national decisions, it goes right to the SCOTUS. No more district judges. Three-judge panel, and if you don't like that ruling, right to the SCOTUS. If we're going to deal with national policy, national legislation, national executive orders coming out of the executive branch, then it should go right to the SCOTUS every time because it's national ruling. Not some guy in Austin, Texas. not some guy in New Hampshire or D.C. Just because they're in D.C., that's just the District of Columbia. Doesn't mean they have any more power than any other district judge. They don't. That's why they judge shop them in the Northern California. In the 9th District, they always go there. It's the most overruled district in the United States of America. They make absolutely asinine decisions. All right, let's go to this next one. Alex Jones video. Canada's, we're still on all things Trump right now. All right, Canada's ultra-globalist Prime Minister, Carney. I've got a whole expose on Canada, which I'll just be, I've got it here, but I have no chance of getting into it. It's buried way down in there, so I'll never get to it. But yeah. I guess it's excellent. I keep adding on to it. But anyway, Alex Jones video, Canada's ultra-globalist Prime Minister Carney delivers message on Trump tariffs from his NWO masters. Play for me.
Response to these latest tariffs is to fight, is to protect, and to build. We will fight the U.S. tariffs with retaliatory trade actions of our own that will have maximum impact in the United States and minimum impacts here in Canada. Let's be clear. We're all on the same page. We won't back down. We will respond forcefully. Nothing is off the table to defend our workers and our...
So I just wonder how it is that they defined they won't back down, because I guess they don't include bending over because that's all they ever do. They always say we're not going to back down. Listen, you don't back down. Okay, less than 1% of our GDP depends on Canada. Less than 1%. It's Canada and Mexico combined. It's like 1.6% of our GDP. We don't care. Shove your wood up your caboose. We don't care. I mean, the whole thing is they're acting like they're being victimized. You charge 250% tariff on our dairy products. And we're saying, if you do that to us, we're going to do that to you. How are you being victimized? That would be like if Aaron came up and punched me in the face and I punched him back in the face and Aaron goes, why did you hit me? You just punched me in the face, Aaron. That's what Canada, I mean, you look like a bunch of asinine morons. You really do. You look stupid. I don't throw that around that often. I mean, you really do. You look stupid. How dare you tariff us? We're saying we're going to tariff you at the exact same level. How are you being victimized? That's like if you walked into a store and you asked, hey, where's the eggnog? It's over here. It's $5. Why are you victimizing me? You asked. I told you what it would cost. You walked into the store. How are you being victimized? You knew it was going to come. If you don't want tariffs, Aaron, what should you do if you don't want tariffs?
Don't tariff.
Yeah, it's real complicated, Aaron. I can figure it out.
Yeah.
We should just run, go ahead. We should just run Canada.
We should.
I mean, how hard is it? Stop tariffing us. Simple as that. It's all Trump's doing everywhere. He's tired of trade deficits. It's all over the world. We're not allowed to sell our cars in China, but China's entire economy depends on the United States of America. But we can't send our cars there. And allegedly, these Democrats are all about expanding, you know, American manufacturing. How are you going to do that when you are not pro-tariff? You're going to have to be pro-tariff, which, by the way, we didn't used to have an IRS. We had an ERS. We didn't even have income tax. It all came from tariffs from other countries. If they want to do business here, they should have to pay for it. Or don't make us pay for it. Simple as that. You know, you don't have to pay for it. Just don't make us pay for it. You want to sell your cars here with no tariffs, and we sell our cars in your country with no tariffs. How is that not fair? I mean, imagine that. So here's Doug Ford, who Alex Jones said, if you're going to cast anybody as a pedophile, it would be this guy. But officially not a pedophile. Ian Miles Chong video. Ontario Premier Doug Ford wants to inflict as much pain as possible on the American people. There's no way he said it. Well, let's see. Play it for me.
But I can assure you one thing. We're going to make sure that we inflict as much pain as possible to the American people without inflicting pain on the Canadian population.
Oh, Dougie, you've done this before. How long? You're on the clock. Both you and Carney are on the clock. You've already done this before. And what was it? It was 12 hours later. Yeah. You had to stop being the tough guy. Dougie is one of those people. He was like that guy that was bawling all over the internet that everybody made fun of. That was Coach something or other. Bawling because of how Zelensky was treated in the White House.
Yeah.
Bawling. He's one of those guys, Doug Ford, who's always wanted to be a tough guy. Always wanted to be a tough guy. Dresses like one. Acts like one. Gets a crew cut so he looks like a soldier. No, Dougie. First of all, you're morbidly obese. Okay. You could not walk from here to the parking lot, which, by the way, our parking lot's 30 yards from here. I mean, please, just don't play the role of a tough guy. Play the role of an ambassador, statesman. Keep your mouth shut and stop acting like you're going to hurt Americans. How are you going to hurt us exactly? Remember the last one? He's going to shut off the electricity, which, you know, by the way, is just a brilliant move by whatever administration it was that made certain parts of America dependent upon Canadian electricity.
For real.
I mean, talk about having your thumb up your rear end and walking around like that. I mean, think about it. I mean, what on earth is going on with that? Which, by the way, it's supplemental electricity. We'll be just fine without it. So, you know, notice how that never happened because he threatened to do that and then had to walk it back 12 hours later. Dougie and Carney, which these are both effeminate men. Ford tries to act like he's not. Carney doesn't put on any sort of airs. He is absolutely an effeminate male. but Doug Ford tries to act like he's not. He really is an effeminate male, but tries to act like he's not. They're going to all end up having to walk this back. They're on the clock right now. We're at about 6-7 hours since they said these statements, maybe more, but they're going to have to walk it back. They'll walk it back because we don't need them. You can be as tough as you want. The reason why they're coming out is because right now you have an attorney working in Alberta to try to annex Alberta into the United States. Calgary, Alberta, into the United States of America. That'd be great. They have the best beef in the world. Annex them right into America. That's Archer Pulaski. He'd be an American citizen. He would love that.
Oh, yeah.
He would love that. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. Libs of TikTok video. So let's bounce around to some different Democratic Party enclaves, and let's see what's going on. We'll do a couple, two in the United States, and we'll do one in Great Britain. Libs of TikTok video. Kathy Hochul overhauled the Medicaid-funded home health care program. Oh, that sounds good. It forces nearly 300,000 New Yorkers to switch over to one pre-selected provider. Sounds like Obamacare. Yeah. Which Kathy Hochul chose because they're her donor friends.
Oh.
So it removes all your options. The only people that you can choose to give your money to, or that this is Medicaid, so the government's money, by the way, Aaron's money, Will's money, my money, your money, will now go to Kathy Hochul's friends, which what does that mean? Goes to Kathy Hochul. Play for me, Will.
I called PPL to see for myself.
A representative will assist you as soon as possible.
After waiting 15 minutes, an automated message told me a representative will give me a call back.
You will be called when an agent becomes available. Thank you. Goodbye.
It's been a few hours since I made that phone call and still no callback. According to PPL, they have doubled the staff over at the call center. Again, the deadline to transition is April 1st. Reporting at the Capitol, Brianna Supardi, CBS 6 News.
And four people, all of them in wheelchairs, two of them who use the home care system, were arrested while demonstrating outside the governor's office at the entrance to the Capitol today, just hours after the health commissioner spoke. Video provided by Caring Majority Rising shows some of the demonstration and the arrest.
So let's just look how fair the Democrats who claim to be the compassionate ones. Let's see how compassionate they are. Kathy Hochul overhauled the Medicaid-funded health care, which is basically that's federal money that the state gets that they allocate through the state system. It forces, so she overhauled the system to financially benefit her donors. It forces nearly 300,000 New Yorkers to switch over to the pre-selected provider, which Kathy Hochul chose because they're her donor friends, which is called PPL. And you saw those, which nice little rhyme here, you saw those poor people in the wheelchair saying we're in PPL hell. The problem is they're impossible to reach. That's about right. And Aaron said, just another empty office. Another government contractor through Medicaid. Nobody shows up to work. They're impossible to reach. They're not even based in the state.
Oh.
But they donate to get Kathy Hochul elected because they're globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. And had major issues in multiple states. So she hires the worst because they're her donors. They're complaining about in this state. They're complaining about in that state. They're complaining about in this state. Oh, you know what? Who we're going to hire? Let's hire them. Let's hire the worst. That should be how that should be the slogan of the Democrats running in 2026 and 2028. Let's hire the worst and do the worst and treat Americans the worst. New Yorkers have six more days to figure it out. 6 days. That's what she inflicted upon them. You have 6 days. Jeez. These are people who have to have medical care. There's fraud in there, of course, as there is everywhere. But there are people, like the people in the wheelchairs, that have to have medical care. And they got 6 days to get all of these people. They won't get their medications. They won't get their treatments. The problem is they're impossible to reach. New Yorkers have six more days to figure it out, or they will lose their Medicaid care. Many disabled New Yorkers and Democrat and Republican senators and reps have urged Kathy Hochul to reconsider, but she's refusing to budge because she's getting rich off of it. Simple as that. Their donors give it to her. You're like, how does she get rich? Because, folks, it's fair. It's all so easy. It's the Bernie Sanders model. Her donors give her a whole bunch of money to her campaign. She hires relatives like her husband. As a consultant, like Ilhan Omar gave $3.1 million to her husband in her last campaign to be a consultant. Cori Bush hiring her husband for six figures a year to be security. That all came from campaign funds. They get rich off of them. Swalwell travels the world on his donor donations. Let's go to the next one. Wall Street Apes video. Democrat rep Susie Lee caught insider trading while advocating for the Ukraine war. Play for me.
Democratic politician Susie Lee, who bought stock in a German war weapons manufacturer Rheinmetall back in May of 2024. At the time of her purchase, not only did she sit on the military construction subcommittee, she also was the first politician to literally have ever bought Rheinmetall stock. This was the first purchase she has made in the past 2 years. Then Dave Portnoy caught notice and decided to copy her Rheinmetall buy with $500,000 of his own money.
When there's smoke, there's fire. So I took half a mil, bang, put it in. Bang.
If we look at how the stock has performed since he purchased it, it's up a whopping 169%. This makes sense considering the fact that Europe is in talks to double their military aid for Ukraine this year, and Rheinmetall is right there sweeping up all of the government contracts. If you want to start copying politicians' stock trades like Rep. Susie Lee, then you should go to boarsfinance.com.
Again, this is chicken, egg, chicken stuff, and either one's bad. It doesn't matter. So if you know that your Democratic rep, Susie Lee, Susie knows, either knows, we'll go one way then the other. So Susie knows that America is about to spend a lot of money, ship a lot of weapons over to Ukraine. So she knows that they're going to utilize the system. She because she knows the contracts before anybody else. What's that called? Insider trading.
Yeah.
So she knows where the government's money is going to go. So she invests in the stock, which is insider trading, patently illegal, and every investment is, in fact, a felony. Dave Portnoy approved it. Dave Portnoy invests $500,000 in the same stock and ends up making 169% off of it, which is million five. About he ends up with he invests $500,000. He's about $1.7 million, just like her. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, or you go the other way. You make sure that you invest in the stock first, and then advocate for the policy to send money to Ukraine. Either way, you're either manipulating the policy to buy the stock, or you're buying the stock then manipulating the policy. That's what's going on. That's all our country's about, outside of people like Mike Lee, outside of Donald Trump, outside of a few pure politicians up there like Rand Paul. They don't do this crap. Everybody else does, including most Republicans. We'll get a little bit more into this later, but we need to be looking at Tommy Cotton closely, because Tommy Cotton has done the exact same thing, advocating for policy that financially benefited his wife. But he's yells. It doesn't matter. They yell and scream and put on a show. Is he any different than Susie Lee? Not my opinion. What's Tommy Cotton done? He advocates for the Ukraine war over and over again. He advocated for specific security policies that benefited his wife, who owns a security company that was hired by the government. So sick of it. I mean, I'm so sick of these. I expect this from Susie Lee. I look at her. I'm like, she's a detestable, gross person. That's one thing. But just like out of Jude 3 and 4, where you're warned by the Holy Ghost via the word of God to really worry about those who have slipped in among you. Those are the ones you really need to worry about. Where am I? Will Insurrection Barbie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Insurrection Barbie video. This is wild. So again, bouncing all over the place three times in America, one time in the UK. So here we are in LA. Let's see what's going on in LA. Play for me.
I'm in downtown LA Skid Row, and I want to point out a few things that's gone on here in the past few years. In 2023, Gavin Newsom set aside $750 million to build tiny homes for people just like this that are surrounding by me. Somehow that money's gone. In 2019, they set aside $24 billion to go towards the homeless. Somehow that money's gone. It's unaccounted for. I want to talk about a few politicians from here. One is Nancy Pelosi. She's been serving these people since 2007. Her net worth is over $120 million. Another person here, Maxine Waters, she's been serving the people here in California since 1990. Her net worth is over $10 million. And Gavin Newsom, who knows what his net worth is, but we know he is building a $9 million home in San Francisco, California. Their leaders, the leaders of California, they failed these people here in Los Angeles and in California. California has actually been one of the highest states in America that people have fled from. Over 66 million people have left California in the last few years. And yet Gavin Newsom, he's out there holding a podcast when he should be working on his state. He might be making a run for it in 2028. And I hope people remember this that's behind me.
So just look at the stats on this. So $750 million was allocated out of taxpayer funds, which, by the way, a lot of it probably came from you and I. They're federal funds out of USAID, probably. And again, I use USAID figuratively. It's not all coming from that, but because there's a myriad of other NGOs funded through USAID, and there's a myriad of other NGOs funded through the State Department and numerous other agencies inside the United States. And most of the agencies aren't in and of themselves NGOs. But anyway, figuratively speaking. But anyway, so $750 million was advocated to build all those people on the streets of L.A., tiny homes, those little tiny ones you see on TV. That would go real well with those people, by the way. Brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. We'll build you a tiny home so you can go smoke crack in there. That's a great idea. You can go smoke fentanyl in your tiny home and burn it to the ground. But anyway, so how many tiny homes were built? None. $24 billion was allocated to solve the homeless problem. They lost all $24 billion. Nobody has any idea where it is.
Huh.
So basically what you got is... $24.75 billion spent on the homeless that's disappeared into thin air. and nobody gives a crap. And they hire, you know what? That's why. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, and again, I'm sorry if you're from California, you're a Republican, hold on to your districts, rule your districts, make them, I mean, rule them as conservatives, keep Democrats out. And I was born in California, Redondo Beach, California. I'm just telling you, I'm a military brat. My dad was a career naval officer. But anyway, so my thing is, if you're going to keep electing them, that's why, you know what? Do I really give a crap about Pacific Palisades being rebuilt? No. They elect the mayor. They elect the governor. They elect these politicians. They're the ones who do it. So do I really care that much? No. Maxine Waters worth $10 million. She's never done one thing. She funnels money to her daughter over and over again. They keep putting her in office. Gavin Newsom, I don't know what a governor makes in the state of California, but it's certainly not enough to build a $9 million home and own a vineyard. And of course, during COVID, he and his kids all continued to go to school and not anybody else. And he was caught eating out at the French Laundry. Nobody else could. But anyway, because the bourgeois leftist elitist rules for thee, not for me. So again, $24.7 million just disappeared into the air. And then they vote the same people in over again. I have no mercy for you. None at all. What's that here? Oh, that's what Newsom makes, $242 a year. $242,000 a year is building a $9 million mansion and owns a vineyard. Explain to me how that works. I'd love to see how that means. All he's ever been is a politician. He's been a mayor. I think he's been a lawyer. So, I mean, again, there's no way he can accumulate that sort of wealth. But somehow he gets it. We all know how. All right, where the heck am I? Oh, let's go to the UK. Keir Starmer. We got a Keir Starmer tweet first. Or no, I got Texas House. Texas. I keep blowing my numbers. Four things in the United States, then we'll go to the UK. And I actually know that's the case this time because here's the next slide.
Brian next.
All right, Brian Harrison video. You're right. The Texas House is corrupt. You know, a lot of times, if you listen, does anybody out there ever listen to Texas politics? No, Tom, we have a life and we're not a loser like you. I get it. I'm just saying, I do. I'm paying attention to it because routinely Bannon has Texas politicians on his show. Texas, everyone thinks it is this bastion of conservatism. It's actually not. The people are, but the politicians are not. The politicians in the Texas House have seated all of, now the politicians in the Texas House is the majority, a big majority, are ours, Republicans. But for some reason, and I mean this, I'm not saying this figuratively, they've seated all the authority over the Democrats, literally. How does that work? Because none of the R's are ours. They're D's running as ours. 99% of them are that way. Look at this little clip from a normal day in the Texas House. Play it for me, Will.
Mr. Speaker, as you know, we are well over halfway through this legislative session. I looked at the schedule today and I didn't see any, but I wanted to make sure I wasn't misreading it. Are we taking up and considering any bill today on any topic? This is a proper point of parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Harrison, there is no calendar for today.
Okay, so we're not taking up any bills today.
Mr. Harrison, there is no calendar for today.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Harrison, for what purpose?
Parliamentary inquiry.
State your inquiry.
Are we taking up and considering any bills on any topic tomorrow?
Mr. Harrison, there is no calendar posted for tomorrow.
So also no. Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Harrison, for what purpose?
Parliamentary inquiry.
State your inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, we're well over halfway session. Why did you feel it was necessary to prioritize resolutions honoring Beyonce and Zoroastrianism ahead of dealing with property taxes and ending taxpayer-funded DEI and transgender ideology in our public universities?
Mr. Harrison, that is not a proper parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, with all due respect, it may be the most proper parliamentary inquiry that has been made this session.
That's the Texas House that everybody thinks is a bastion of right-wing conservatism. It's not. The people are. That's why we're winning national races. But it is the legislation coming out. Did you hear that? What's on the docket for today? Nothing. What's on the docket for tomorrow? Nothing. Why have we prioritized giving Beyonce a day? Does that sound like a Republican initiative to you? No, I'm telling you. Literally, you can pull this up yourself. Open source data on Google. The House in the House and the Senate, the Congress, the state Congress of the state legislation of Texas is ruled literally by Democrats. It's right there. Why are you talking about transgenderism and a Texas Beyonce Day? How's that Republican in any way, shape, or form? That guy that he was speaking to is a Republican, the one with the beard. That's like the Speaker of the House and the guy running the processes for the day. How is that? See, we're being fooled. We need to, everybody in Texas, you need to actually find out how your elected politician is legislating. How's he acting? How's there nothing on the docket? So there's nothing to be done in Texas? No, there's nothing to be done. Anything on the schedule date? Nothing. What's on for tomorrow? Nothing. Imagine, and you know this is televised, and you don't care. It's just blatant. All right, let's go to the UK. Let's look at the priorities of the UK. Put that one up there for me, Will. Look at this priority. Confirmed. This is from the Prime Minister. This is when I saw this, I double-checked it, and I triple-checked it because I remember butt babies. Okay. We did a butt baby segment on this show.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought it was real. Okay, I just recently did something in the church. I ran a video in the church about the bald eagles breaking off their beaks. I thought it was real. It was all fake. Okay, so I've learned. And a lot of the animal videos that I keep showing, I found out they're fake too. So, like, you know, like this rescued wild mountain lion, all this stuff, they're fake. All right, so I'm like hard-hardened and whatever now. So. But anyway, so I was trying to making sure that this was not a spoof. I was making sure this wasn't a parody. I thought for sure this is parody. This has to be one of those, like, you know, because you'll see like a Steven Crowder account and you look closely. It's not Steven Crowder. It's Steven Crowder parody.
Right.
It's Steven Crowder news. That's what people do all the time. There's a Doge news account. There's Alex Jones news account, which is excellent, by the way. We're friends on Twitter. But I'm just saying, you have to see whether the account's real or not. So I'm like, this can't be real. But the Prime Minister of the nation of England, I mean, one of the greatest nations, our parent nation, felt like this was a good. You talk about freaking cringe, dude. This is the priority. You have women being raped by Muslims by the hundreds. Tom, how can you say, I don't give a crap. Aaron, are they being raped by Muslims?
Yeah.
Okay, then you know what you say? They're being raped by Muslims.
Yep.
If they're being raped by white guys, I'll say they're being raped by white guys. Black guys, Chinese guys, figments of their imagination, whatever it is. I'll say it.
Yep.
Whatever's true is true. But you honestly, this is the priority of the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Confirmed. Ninja swords will be banned by the summer.
Oh.
Really?
Good.
Why don't you say confirmed? I'm going down a water slide later on today. What is this? When we promise action, we take it. I thought this was parody. Honestly, I'm like, nobody could be this stupid. When we promise action, we take it. Keir Starmer at the bottom. Knife crime is at epidemic levels. Aaron, who do you think's wielding all those knives?
Muslims?
Yeah, exactly. It's all Muslims. 100% Muslims. Yep. There's no natural citizens of Great Britain wielding ninja swords.
No.
Knife crime is epidemic levels and ruining lives across Great Britain. How does that, what about all the child rapists that Keir Starmer was part of the CPC, Child Protection Center of Great Britain for decades. And he basically let every Muslim rapist off the hook. It's just like the I think he's an ex-police officer, ex-military guy. They just put in prison for like a year or two because he put out on social media that basically their nation's being invaded. I thought they had free speech. He's been put in the same judge put him in prison for 2 years over a post on Facebook. And he was also made another post about how these illegals are raping our citizens. And that same judge just sentenced a rapist, an actual rapist convicted of rape, to probation. So if you post about the rape, prison for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But if you actually rape, no problem. You're on probation and feel free to go rape again. That's Great Britain right now. And they sent over, Keir Starmer sent over his assistant, his deputy prime minister, to actually try to take down Elon Musk during our election. And then they overthrow the election in Romania because there's Russian interference. Russia arrests 300 people a year for speech crimes. Great Britain, 3,300 a year for speech crimes in a much smaller nation. Things you get in the per capita numbers, it would be about 1 in 10 for every one in Russia. So I'm like, this story can't be true until I've ran into an Ian Miles Chong video. When the UK bans ninja swords. Play it for me.
We begin with breaking news. The government has banned ninja swords 3 years after the death of 16-year-old Ronan Kander. It will be illegal to possess, sell, make or import the weapon from the summer, with anyone caught with a ninja sword potentially facing 6 months in prison. The ban is part of measures known as Ronan's Law, which also requires retailers to report bulk or suspicious sales to police and an increase to jail sentences for selling weapons to children. The Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, said it's part of a wider mission to try and keep children safe.
None of those knives that were pictured were ninja swords. Gosh, what a bunch of morons. I mean, seriously, these are supposed to be our betters. And again, I don't have any mercy on Great Britain. They just voted Keir Starmer in. It's what they want, I guess. I guess they want their freedoms just to be taken from them one at a time. Not even one at a time, in giant clumps. All right, so let's go to Signalgate. Laura Loomer tweet. Let's deep dive. This is wonky. Not the strongest finish of a podcast ever, but I got to do it because this information coming from Laura Loomer is absolutely astounding. But again, kind of wonky it is. But you got to see it. So of course we all know about what happened with the Signal chat. You had Mike Waltz, the NSA, National Security Advisor, put on this Signal chat group. He orchestrated the Signal chat group. Alex Wong, remember the names. This is really the only two names you got to remember. Mike Waltz, Alex Wong. Alex Wong is his executive assistant. He is the assistant. He is the assistant NSA. Okay? Long record of working for stalwart conservatives like George W. Bush and Tom Cotton.
Great.
Yeah, so let's make sure we put him in the Trump administration. But anyway, so one of those two guys, Mike Waltz or Alex Wong, invited in The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg, which is like inviting Adolf Hitler into Israel. So that, I mean, of all the people that could possibly ever be invited in, what are the odds that it would be Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, the collusion hoaxer, the suckers and loser hoaxer? All right, get this now. Laura Loomer tweet. Deputy National Security Advisor Alex Wong's father-in-law had direct ties to the CCP. Shocking. So the assistant NSA, Deputy NSA's father-in-law has direct ties to the CCP. The father of Candace Chu Wong, the wife of Alex Wong, the Trump-appointed Chinese deputy. Aaron, what did I say yesterday? Isn't it weird how there's always a significant position held by a Chinese person? It's kind of weird.
Yep.
Just kind of weird. You go to Canada and you'll see it. The father of Candace Chu Wong, the wife of Alex Wong, the Trump-appointed Chinese deputy National Security Advisor under Michael Waltz, who is now at the center of the Signalgate scandal, was directly tied, I believe I'm supposed to say, to the CCP and the People's Liberation Army of China via his 23-year-long career at AsiaSat, the leading satellite solutions provider in Asia. AsiaSat Holdings is jointly owned by Chinese state-owned CITAC Limited and private equity fund, the Carlyle Group. Carlyle Group is basically a fund that is very favorable to or run by the PLA CCP. I'm going to read a little. I don't know if I'm going to read this entire article. It's long, but I'm going to read a little bit more. AsiaSat is essentially partially owned by the CCP as a state-owned entity in China. Dr. Yu Hui Chu, Alex Wong's father-in-law, was a key figure in the early development of AsiaSat. He joined the company in 1989 and played a pivotal role in its technical operations. So there we have a connection to China. Let's go to the next one, Will. This one I want to get into even more. Laura Loomer tweet. Alex Wong, the Chinese deputy national security advisor appointed by President Trump, who is at the center of Signalgate scandal, is married to U.S. attorney Candace Chu Wong, a Chinese woman who is one of the key attorneys involved in prosecuting J6ers. That's who you bring in? You bring in a guy whose wife is prosecuting the people you pardoned? Amazing. I mean, truly amazing. Alex Wong was appointed by President Trump. I mean, what's Susie Wiles doing? I don't know if she's in charge of this or not, Trump's chief of staff, but... Not a good choice. Alex Wong was appointed by President Trump on 11-22-24 to serve as the assistant. Who's telling Donald Trump to put these people in here? To serve as the assistant to the president and the principal deputy national security advisor under Mike Waltz. Either Mike Waltz or Alex Wong put Jeffrey Goldberg in this Signal chat. One or both of them had him on his phone because there's no way to invite him unless you are already communicating with him. Yep. And Mike Waltz says he doesn't even know who Jeffrey Goldberg is, although we've already shown him pictured with him and attending his own conference. Oops. And somebody had him on his phone.
Yeah.
So I'm glad Aaron's here because I wouldn't have known any of that. All right, so where am I at? All right, it was appointed by President Trump, serving as Mike Waltz. Okay, I'll leave that up. Well, Mike Waltz, the newly appointed U.S. This is more on Laura Loomer's article. Mike Waltz, the newly appointed U.S. National Security Advisor. I have discovered that Laura Loomer has discovered that Alex's wife, Candace Wong, worked under the Obama administration.
Oh, good. Oh.
Let's make sure she's part of the Trump administration. You can trust her and the Biden administration as the U.S. assistant United States attorney. So that's who you want involved, are activist lawyers in your administration, activist lawyers for the opposition. That's who you want involved, right? You want them, you want the people that they're prosecuting being the ones that you pardoned. That makes sense. In the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia, where she led the violence reduction and trafficking offenses section for more than 2 years. All right. She was involved in the prosecution of many J6ers during the Biden regime, under which she was nominated to become a member of the United States Sentencing Commission. Additionally, Candace Wong served as a law clerk to Obama-appointed Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I wonder who it was that contacted Jeffrey Goldberg. Interesting, isn't it? When you actually find out the incestuous one branch family tree that goes on in our government. Making matters worse, as if it could be worse, Alex Wong himself worked for Covington and Burling, which is one of the law firms that President Trump recently stripped of its security clearance. Oh. Let's just hire people out of Perkins Coie.
Oh my gosh.
Shall we? Let's just hire Norm Eisen. Let's hire Mark Elias, shall we? Let's do that. Stripped of a security clearance and terminated all their government contracts via executive order on February 25th, 2025. Trump accused Covington LLP of being involved in weaponization of government, but Alex Wong used to work for him. And somebody called Jeffrey Goldberg and included him. He's not just calling him. They then included him in the chat, which has caused the only bump in the road of this current Trump administration, only significant one. Why do we have a Chinese deputy national security advisor who is married to a Chinese U.S. attorney who worked under Obama and Biden and Sonia Sotomayor? How is she Republican? One of my favorite people, political people on the planet, Mike Davis, came out in defense of her today, and Alex Wong. How? He used to work for Covington. Covington and Burling, that's equivalent to working at Perkins Coie. How is he in the administration? This is unacceptable, and given the Chinese connections, it really makes you wonder if Jeffrey Goldberg, the reporter from The Atlantic, was added to the Trump Signal chat on purpose as part of a foreign op. See, there's many different angles. Either it was on purpose by Waltz or Wong, or Signal was hacked. Alex Jones is putting out that the Signal codes are out. We weren't able to confirm that, so I don't have anything on that they're out and easily hacked. And strangely, right before Biden left office, he institutionalized via executive order the use of Signal, as if they want you to use it so they can access it. Or maybe so that they can pull shenanigans like this, where that insider like Wong or Waltz calls Jeffrey Goldberg to just ruin everything. It's all, again, it gets to be so obvious. What are the odds? What are the odds that it's Jeffrey Goldberg? All right, Aaron put out, Wong served as the foreign and legal policy. Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh, I forgot about this. Let's look more at Alex Wong, shall we? Wong served as the foreign and legal policy director for the Mitt Romney 2012 presidential campaign.
He's the Wong guy.
Yeah, he's the Wong guy for the Wong guy for the wrong time. All right, let's go to the next one. Tom Cotton tweet. There we go. So here, Alex. Here, so Tom Cotton comes strangely out in strong defense. Alex Wong and his wife Candace are complete and total patriots, 100% MAGA. 100% MAGA. Tom Cotton voted, was going to threaten to vote against both Pete Hegseth and RFK Jr.
Yeah,
weird. 100% MAGA warriors who always put America first for 3 years. Alex worked hard for me, a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist, until President Trump smartly hired him away. President Trump made another great decision to hire Alex as his deputy national security advisor so people like me could keep an eye on Trump. And America is safer and better off with Alex in the White House because we think we know better than Trump. People like Tom Cotton, again, he gets into a dark, smoke-filled room with people like Chuckie Schumer, and they believe that their synergy, their decision-making is above all of ours. That they have this sort of uniparty wisdom that's smarter than just simple conservatism. That's what they believe. All right, go to the next one for me. Mario Nofal tweet on Tom Cotton revealed Tom Cotton tied to anti-Trump NGO.
Oh.
But Tom Cotton's very, very thankful that we have Alex Wong working for Trump so that people like Tom Cotton can actually keep an eye on Trump until Tom Cotton's done with being a senator and then goes and works for USAID-funded NGOs.
Yeah.
That he, of course, makes sure that he always funds via the omnibus and minibus packages. Revealed, Tom Cotton tied to anti-Trump NGO getting millions from USAID. Senator Cotton sits on the board of the International Republican Institute, which reportedly receives $130 million from you and me. Will, Aaron, what has the International Republican Institute ever done for you? Because you send them $130 million a year.
Oh, good.
Just to let you know. Much of it from, of course, USAID. But Tom, you said that USAID was staffed by Democrats to the tune of 98%. That's because there is no difference between the Republican Institute and Democrats. These are all CIA cutouts, all of them. Mitt Romney is absolutely no different than Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
They're the same person. And that's most Republicans. That's why the CIA makes sure that they have an international Republican. All the USAID is a way for the CIA to fund things that it's illegal to fund themselves.
Right.
And that they can then control Republican politicians. Good. You got a great job afterwards, Tommy. You can come and be on the board of directors of the International Republican Institute right after you're done being a senator, or even while you're a senator. You get free travel, free room and board, you know, everything first class. The group actively works against Trump's policies, but yet he's rejoicing at a Trump hire. If somebody who's working against you is rejoicing in the people that you're hiring, you shouldn't be hiring the people you're hiring. Mm-hmm. While funding UN refugee programs, that's great. IRI spent $12 million. So they get $130 million a year. They spend $12 million on travel. How much do you have to travel to run the International Republican Institute that does nothing? And $14 million on benefits. So $26 million went to benefits and travel. That's what you and I pay for. That's all the United States is about right now, is you and I funding NGOs that give lavish lifestyles to rhinos and Democrats. Lavish lifestyles, lavish pensions, lavish salaries that they receive via the NGOs or working for the NGOs or being hired by the NGOs. They even provide a housing allowance for multimillionaires according to their tax forms. Wow. Now Tom Cotton's blocking Trump's DOD pick. He even came against Pete Hegseth. Hegseth he was against. RFK Jr. he was against. Tulsi Gabbard he was against. And why is he... Okay, let's look at the Tom Cotton, Alex Wong, Mike Waltz connection. What did Tom Cotton want to be in the Trump administration? He wanted to be Secretary of Defense.
Hmm.
And now who are they focused on kicking out Mike Waltz, who's the one who called Jeffrey Goldberg? They're all talking about what a horrible breach it was. Well, who was at fault for the breach? Alex Wong or Mike Waltz? Then why are they trying to get rid of Pete Hegseth? So they can put Tommy in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. All right, that's it. I got it so much more. But anyway, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Oh, monthly supporters, at DebPowell50, thank you so much. Rumble Rants, NateDad1, $20. Thank you guys. Love all of you in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you for always being here. Stick around for the post game. It's great. It really is. Got to stick around for it. It really is good. And I'm done screaming at you. And it's only about 45 seconds from now. Did I say pregame? Postgame. Stick around for postgame. Pregame's already over. Stick around for postgame. All right. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.